Good morning and welcome to hour number two of Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. The producers for this program, Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal, Kyle Mabry, is at the controls. Well, compared with some parts of the country, Illinois has enough water to meet our current needs. At the same time, we know that demand for water continues to grow, and there is some reason to be concerned that sometime in the future, if nothing changes, we could actually here in this part of the country face water shortages. That was the idea, that is, making sure that that didn't happen, was the idea behind an effort that was launched some years ago by the state to try to get a handle on water supplies, use, and management here in this part of the country. And as part of that effort, it brought together a number of people who connected to this issue different sorts of ways to talk about that. And just recently, within the past couple of months, a report was issued that we'll be talking about. And we want to do something here on the show that we've tried to do from time to time, and that is, in a general way, get people thinking about water, where it comes from, and how they use it. So we have three guests with us here on the program. Ed Maynard is senior geohydrologist at the Illinois State Geological Survey. He's also adjunct professor at Illinois State University in their Department of Geography and Geology over in Normal. William Smith is emeritus professor from Eastern Illinois University, where he taught parks and resource planning. He is also now in his fifth term as trustee for the village of Savoy. He's also a member of the Champaign County Forest Preserve District Foundation Board and immediate past chair of the Champaign County Design and Conservation Foundation. And our third guest is Brad Eukin. He's manager of the Champaign County Farm Bureau. He's been with the Farm Bureau organization since 1997. He served as manager of the Stark and Bureau counties. Prior to coming to Champaign County, he grew up on a grain and livestock farm north of Urbana near Flatville. Also serves as chair of the Regional Watershed Planning Committee. And we're pleased that they can all be here this morning to talk with us. Questions are welcome, too. The only thing we ask of people who call in is that people are brief in their questions, but certainly anybody who's listening can join the conversation. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. So at any point, questions are welcome. Well, thank you all three for being here. We appreciate it. And I guess we should mention that, you know, there are a number of people involved in this effort. What they tried to do with this committee that you all were part of was to get all variety of stakeholders. And we just tried to pick a couple of people. We could have done a number of others, but certainly people who are in municipal government are involved. People in agriculture are involved. People who work with the water company are involved. People who are geologists and hydrologists, people are involved. So this was it was a big effort trying to pull together a lot of different people. Maybe let me start. I want somebody, and maybe Ed Maynard could do this, just to talk a little bit about how this effort to map out supply, to think about demand, how it all came about.
Basically, it's been a response to the drought that we had in 2005. There's a lot of people that were concerned about water supply, and then the drought that we had in 2005 kind of tipped the scales. So Governor Blagojevich signed the Water Resource Executive Order 2006-01 that called for regional water supply planning committees in the state of Illinois. Now, historically, water supply planning had been done at the state level. You know, a panel of experts got together and said this is what the water supply plan should be. And this is represents a change in philosophy. We have a grassroots organization, actually two, one in northeast Illinois, one in east central Illinois. East central Illinois covers 15 counties across the center part of the state from the state line to the Illinois River. So this represents sort of a change in approach and hopefully change in application to the plan. So hopefully when this plan is developed completely, people will use it. It won't sit on the shelf and gather dust like some of the other water plans that I have in my office.
Yeah. Why there were two parts of the state that were chosen to concentrate on, northeastern Illinois and east central Illinois.
That's right.
What about those two places was so important that the decision was made, here's where we really want to concentrate?
There was some planning done by the Illinois State Water Survey that indicated that those areas of the state, because of increasing population and potential restrictions in supply, those would be the areas that would be most sensitive to increased water demand. So those are the two places to start. And this effort is really considered a pilot study. It's a first attempt to see how people can handle regional water supply planning committee. And it was done with a grassroots effort. So we have 12 people that volunteered to be on the committee and put in a lot of time and effort to learn about the resources and to express their opinion on what water supply planning should include and involve.
Well, let me ask you one other question before I get some comments from Professor Smith and from Brad Yukon. This was it was projected to be a 3-year project, and for reasons that are probably obvious, the funding was cut for the third year.
That's right.
Is there – and some money is required to do this. The idea is that there should be some kind of permanent staff associated with this. Is there actually the money that's required to make this work?
We're doing it on a shoestring now. I think even though the third year was cut – because of the way that the committee operated, we were able to save a lot of money in the first 2 years, and we were able to get most of everything that we wanted to get done. There's a lot more that we would like to do with outreach and education, and fortunately we're doing a part of that today with your radio show. But, you know, there's definitely a need to do this long term, and one of the things that we've talked about at the committee level is that this is the first step, and it needs to be evaluated on a continuous basis, maybe at regular intervals of 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, depending on the region.
I want to turn to our other two guests here. There, as Professor Manette said, this is a big committee, and there were a number of people who represent various kinds of interests. So let me first turn to Professor Smith. In your presence on the committee has to do with the sort of municipality stakeholder group. What is your interest here, and what's the interest of a village like Savoy?
Well, I think one of the things we have to look at is the long-term economic development of an area. Mm-hmm. And we know that when individuals come in to you start a new business or start an industry, one of the things they want to make sure is that they have adequate water supply. That is a big issue. And Savoy, of course, being a small community, we've had tremendous growth. We had a 67% growth rate between 90 and 2000. We're already over 7,000 population now on a special census. Well, the growth within Champaign County and other counties within our 15-county region also have tremendous amount of growth. And if we have growth and we don't have water, then we do have problems. We know that if we have a drought, we're in pretty good shape in the Champaign-Urbana area. But we know that Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, perhaps even Danville, will have shortages of water, potentially shortages of water. And this doesn't have to happen over a long period of time. It could be over a short period of time. In fact, a one-year drought could potentially affect Decatur, and it has in the past.
And is that because these communities rely primarily on surface water?
And that's surface water, yes. The committee worked both on surface water and groundwater, and surface water seems to be more of an issue than groundwater.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there is concern that the Mahomet Aquifer is not bottomless, and that there are a lot of people here. That's where in Champaign-Urbana, for example, that's where we're getting our water, and there is this concern that because of growth and increase in residential use and industrial use, that there is increasing pressure put on that resource.
Yes. I think an interesting statistic is that we use twice as much water in this area as the folks in the Chicago area, twice as much on an average per capita basis. And that's substantial. That means that they're doing more conservation, and perhaps we should be doing less watering on our front yards.
Let me turn to our third guest here, Brad Yukon, and talk a little bit about how people who are involved in agriculture come into this issue.
Well, I think there's a great interest in it from an agricultural community, not necessarily here in Champaign County. Is there a great deal of irrigation? But when you get to the western portion of the Mahomet Aquifer, there is a great deal of irrigation. Now, the aquifer functions really completely different from east to west. The recharge is just at a substantially different rate on the west. And in essence, that's how that is a sustainable practice from that standpoint mm-hmm. of the heavy amount of irrigation that they do on the west side is because the recharge is so much quicker. On the east side here where we're at today, recharge is very long time. And so from an agricultural standpoint, we want to make sure that we're able to continue some of the practices in a sustainable way. And in essence, we're going to be able to as we move forward with the irrigation that is occurring through the work is relatively sustainable.
Yeah. Well, now the way that the aquifer gets recharged is from rain. Rain comes down, hits the ground, eventually percolates down in the aquifer. The difference between the west and the east have to do with how much development there is and the opportunity for rain to soak down? Yet, no, I guess not.
To some extent, people believe that the way the land is covered is important. But the fundamental difference is the hydraulic conductivity of the geologic materials. In the west, Mason County, they have about 200 feet of sand from the ground surface to the bottom of the aquifer. Here in Champaign County, we have almost 200 feet of fine-grained material sitting on top of the sand and gravel that comprise the aquifer. So water flows fundamentally differently through the two regions, and that explains why the recharge is different in Mason County than it is, say, here in Champaign or Vermilion County.
So it's more permeable.
That's right.
In
yes.
the west.
And yeah. perhaps we should back up just slightly, David, and, sure. and talk about the aquifer. Basically, is believed to flow from if you're imagining a map from the Gilman area, the Paxton area to the north of Champaign Urbana, down towards Champaign Urbana, and then it really takes kind of a hard right. And goes towards Monticello and then flows, eventually ends up at the Illinois River, as Ed pointed out. But to talk a little bit about the flow, that's a general flow. I mean, there's some questions on there. There's, you know, but that's the general direction. And I think that's important for people to understand of how this water moves and how we get to this water. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we've been able to find out is just the amount of use that Champaign County is using. Is there's in essence a little bit of a pullback that's happening. From the Champaign County is actually in essence pulling water from west to east instead of the water naturally flowing or moving from east to west. And I think that that's one of the things Bill hit on a little bit with the economic development is that Champaign County is the largest growth area of the 15 counties that we looked at. Granted, yes, we've got Springfield that's just outside of the aquifer, Decatur's outside, Bloomington Normal's just outside. So if you look at the communities within the 15-county area, the largest populations here in Champaign-Urbana and Champaign County. And so I think that goes to also Ed's earlier point of why this area was selected.
Mm. Let me just very quickly introduce again. We're talking about regional water planning in our part of the state. And we have here a couple of members of the East Central Illinois Regional Water Planning Committee, Supply Planning Committee, just recently issued a report, part of this effort that's been going on now for a couple of years to try to get a handle on water supplies here in the state of Illinois, how much we have, how much we use, and how we can and should think about using that in a sustainable way. Brad Yukon is the chair of this committee. He also works with the Champaign County Farm Bureau. William Smith is here. He is a trustee for the Village of Savoy. And Ed Maynard here is a geohydrologist with Illinois State Geological Survey. And questions are welcome, 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. One of the things the report tries to address is, well, what's the present rate of usage of water in our part of the state? And maybe I'll ask Ed Maynard, is that something that you can talk about? How much water do we use right now?
In 2005, the data were reported. We started in 2005, which was a drought year, so they tried to normalize things and try to get you what it would have been if we didn't have a drought. And all water uses was 1,655,000,000 gallons per day. And that's a typical unit that we talk about, MGD, million gallons of water per day. And by 2050, that was the end of the planning phase, 2050, That number was going to increase under one scenario, and we looked at several scenarios, to 1,788 million gallons a day.
So give us those one more time.
Well, yeah, I think I made a mistake there. So it's 1,655 million gallons per day, and the increase by 2050 would be 1,788 million gallons per day.
Okay. That's it. Both of those are really big numbers. I can't quite wrap my head around them. Well, is there a big difference between 1,655 million and 1,780 million?
Well, the difference is when you start looking at power generation. Power generation is the number one user of water, and that's over 1 billion gallons a day for cooling water. It's not a consumptive use, but, you know, if you look at Lake Clinton, that was built for the power plant. So they circulate over 800 million gallons of water per day through that power plant when it's operating for cooling purposes. And maybe 1 or 2% of that is actually a consumptive use that goes up in the atmosphere as steam. But if you look at the increase, if you take out power generation, you look at the increase, then the water is projected to increase, water use projected to increase by 51% by 2050. And that's where the real cause for concern is. Can we meet that? And that was the fundamental mm-hmm. question. Some people were very comfortable with the idea that, yes, we could supply it via surface water and via groundwater. And other people said, oh, no, we're not going to be able to do that. So, you know, the logical thing is to take a look at it. And that's where this planning process came into play. And then, you know, through the work of technical people that the committee hired and supervised, the answer to that for most people is that, yes, we should be able to supply that water if we do reasonable things. And we can talk about what that list of reasonable things is.
And this is also assuming average precip over that time? So we're not talking about a big drought? Would that upset the estimates?
A big drought changes everything. The planning process it gets pretty technical pretty quickly. But what the consultants have done is look at average water use in a given time. But a drought can add anywhere, depending on the severity of the drought. The 2005 drought added about 50% above the normal water. So when there is a drought, the demand increases greatly. You know, a lot of that is for some of it's for irrigation. Some of it is for watering of lawns and gardens and taking care of your home. Those sorts of uses.
And I just wonder how much of the additional demand would be what you could call industrial use, and I would include agriculture. I don't know if you actually would break that out as a separate category. But I mean all non-residential use. How much of the increase is that?
I have a table, but I don't have we've got a 500-page report, and we have that broken down by county. And we looked at a number of water uses, and those water uses are power generation, mm-hmm. self-supplied domestic, municipal supplies, and that would include something like Illinois American Water here, something for human consumption, commercial and industrial, and then there's also agricultural. And a large component of agriculture is irrigation, but it also includes water for livestock. We have a fish hatchery over mm-hmm. in the Mason County area that would get lumped in with agriculture.
Okay. Just your reaction, again, I turn to Brad and to Professor Smith. You think that this demand, the kind of demand that we're talking about, is something that can be met?
I think that in the short term and both the long term, I think we can. If we do start to manage this, the aquifer now, mm-hmm. I think that if we move forward to the year and look at the year 2050 and say, oh, well, the report says we're in good shape, That probably is not going to be sustainable. The report indicates that in the short term, we are in good shape with water. With proper planning, that can be for drought preparedness or just starting to manage the aquifer more. And as we move forward, it gets more critical that those communities that deal with surface water that Professor Smith mentioned earlier, that they get even more drought preparedness plans and do more planning for their water sources. But I guess in the long term, my short answer is yes. I feel confident in the information that, again, with proper planning, management planning, and drought preparedness planning, we can have a sustainable water source.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a caller here, and I want to get to them in a second. But just let me ask one other question here. Perhaps Professor Smith, you might be the person to talk about this. In looking through the report and looking through, say, the executive summary, there's a couple of things that here that jump right off the page at you. At least they do to me. And one of the things in your area of things to think about, it says that water supplies in East Central Illinois are planned and managed largely in piecemeal manner by individual managers and local and sub-regional authorities. There's no planning and management process or structure for comprehensive water supply planning and management across the region. And further here, it says the public and many local decision makers have limited understanding of water supply issues and often are misinformed. That says that you, if you are going to develop a comprehensive plan, it's got some ways to go.
That's true. We might lay some more groundwork here with the Mahomet Aquifer Consortium, which has been around for a number of years. They are the ones that help initiate this study with the Department of Natural Resources. They have been involved primarily with the aquifer and not necessarily surface water. We are at the point of giving them recommendations how they can expand their role and broaden the scope of their board to be the catalyst for planning within the 15-county region. And I think they're up to the challenge to do that. Our terms were supposed to be up at the end of June this year. They've asked us through MAC and DNR to stay on for another year to help implement some of these things within the plan. And I think that we can accomplish with local governments and with county governments, and it's important that these folks get involved. We've had three meetings already, and I think the total attendance has only been around 11 people at three meetings that have been set up throughout the 15-county region. And we need a greater participation by these vested groups.
Mm-hmm. Well, how, you know, given the fact that at least so far here we've been lucky in this part of the country that we've had the luxury of not having to worry about water, certainly not the way they have in other places in the country where they, because of that, have thought a lot more about how they use it, about conservation and so forth. We haven't had to do that, not yet. How do you get people thinking about that when they, to date, really haven't?
I think that's a legitimate challenge. These guys have heard me say it before. People are not thinking about where their water comes from. When they get up in the morning, as long as a spigot, there's water that comes out to make their coffee or to take a shower with, people are not thinking about where their water comes from. That mentality as we move forward has to change, and that's part of our secondary effort here that we're sort of moved into our second phase is public education and outreach. The first part, again, dealt with just the report and looking at supply, demand, management recommendations. We're now, in my mind, moving forward and looking at public education. This will not be a year from now. I do not believe we will be able to check that off of our list of, well, we've completed that. Everybody's educated on the aquifer. But it has to be something that's ongoing. We've got to do efforts like this that we're talking about today on the radio. We've got to do public meetings. We've got to do a variety of things of trying to educate people of where their water comes from. And then you've got to start to educate them of what we found in our report. So really, there's really two things in my mind that we really have to educate people on as we move forward.
Hmm. And I think the issue is sustainability. I mean, even though this report goes out to 2050 with three levels of scenarios, what do we do beyond that time? And if we don't plan ahead, we're going to leave a legacy that will be in the same situation, if you will, as other states are. It is projected within the U.S. that 36 states will have water shortage by 2020. 36 states, water shortage. And I know it may be in pockets, but all we have to do is look around and see what happened in Georgia, what's happening now in the Vegas area with Lake Mead, with the Great Basin, and tapping into that to bring water down to Vegas to meet the water supply at great expense. We know that the ethanol plant up at Gibson City is an example. They've tapped into the aquifer all the way over toward Paxton in order to have adequate water supply. And we have to have some sort of concerted effort to monitor the amount of water that's being withdrawn. We really don't have the exact numbers. And I think that's a challenge, too, that the surveys, the water survey and the geologic survey, are working on.
We have a couple callers here, and I want to bring them into the conversation. We are at our midpoint, just a little bit past the midpoint, and again, let me real quickly introduce again our three guests. William Smith, he's emeritus professor from Eastern Illinois University. He's the last guy that you heard. He taught parks and resource planning there. He is a trustee for the Village of Savoy in his fifth term there. Also in the studio with us is Brad Eucken. He's manager of the Champaign County Farm Bureau, has been with the Farm Bureau organization since 97. He also served as manager of the bureaus in Stark and Bureau counties before coming to Champaign County. He grew up on a farm north of Urbana near Flatville. And Ed Maynard is a senior geohydrologist with the Illinois State Geological Survey. And we're talking about a recent report that just come out of the East Central Illinois Regional Water Supply Planning Committee. And Brad and Bill are both members of the committee. And there were a number of people on the committee that addressed various sorts of interests. And, you know, we decided, well, we try to pick a couple of guys and ask them to be in here. So they're just speaking for their own – kind of for their own area of interest, but for the committee as a whole too. Questions welcome, 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. We have several callers. They're all in Champaign. We'll take them in the order that they came in, starting with line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I hear a discussion like this or something similar, I ask us the same question, and I'm not sure I still understand or get the kind of answer I'm looking for. Who in the final analysis controls our water supply? At this point, Ameren is the agency that, you know, puts it through, and that's who we pay and so forth. For example, if Ameren decides to sell water from the Mahomet Aquifer to somebody else, somewhere else in the world, somewhere across the country, is that something they can do? How controlled is Ameren in the policies that it makes? And who really owns the Mahomet Aquifer?
Well, just to be clear, I think what we're talking about is Illinois American Water. I think Ameren is the power company.
You're right.
They don't have anything to do with the water.
Right.
But yet, I think that it's a really interesting question, and there are a number of ways to answer it. I think the one way to answer the question is who controls the water? Well, nobody does, really. Ed Maynard's over there nodding his head. Can you be the first one to try to take a piece of the caller's question?
I'm not an expert on Illinois water law, but there's two types of water law. That practiced out in the western U.S. where you need water rights to withdraw water from a river or from an aquifer. And east of the Mississippi here in Illinois, we have the riparian water law. So the water is available to whoever can get it. So I can put a well in, and I don't need to apply to any state agency to extract that water. There are regulations on building wells and things like that, but to get a permit to remove 100 gallons per minute I don't need to apply to anybody here in the state of Illinois. I think what the vision for the Water Supply Planning Committee is that we want this management to be voluntary. We want people to work for the common good, the regional good, not necessarily just what's best for the village of Savoy or Illinois American Water Company, but people understand that water is essential for life. It's essential for growth. One of the big drivers for water use is population, and that's one of the things that we're trying to make sure. You know, we're projected to – the region is projected to increase in population by 30% by 2050. So how can we serve that number of people that have – you know, that will have homes and will have jobs and make it good for everybody and also for the environment? We want to make sure that we keep the same quality of environment that we have or possibly improve that, and that's where the committee comes into play, trying to balance those forces. So in the state of Illinois, there is not – in this part of the state, there is not one there's not one authority that controls water supply. Now, there are – in northeast Illinois – it's a little different story. For Lake Michigan Water, there is an allocation program. And there also exists water authorities at smaller levels that can control some water use, but not every water use.
But my question still goes begging. I mean, if Ameren has water use rights, what's to stop them from selling the water to Nevada, for instance? I mean, well and good to have a committee that's looking at this the way it should be looking at it, but how much control do we really have?
I think the control comes in under economics. It's very difficult to move water. Installing a pipeline costs you millions of dollars per mile. It costs a lot to transport water. So I hear these schemes, you know, we're going to be selling water to Saudi Arabia or Las Vegas or somebody. Just the economics are not there. It's very difficult to move water at a reasonable price.
I guess I'm not very trusting. As long as the free market is there and somebody could make money down the road, I have every confidence that it will be used by someone who can make money, and it just worries me.
I think, on one side, you're correct. I mean, when I get a bottle of water at the convenience store, I like to look and see where it's from. And I've had water from Fiji, believe it or not. I've had water from the state of Wyoming, and I scratch my head. Why is Wyoming shipping water out of state? But these are, you know, one pint at a time. They're small volumes. They're not necessarily volumes that will change, will greatly impact something like the Mahomet Aquifer or the Sangamon River.
So I'll just hang up. I have only one question left. The plans that you're making and the vision that you want through 2050 and beyond, how much power do you have to put those into play? It's still my original question. Who really controls? Who has the right to do this?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the question. Maybe somebody else would like to respond.
Well, I'll stick with Ed's answer because Ed's right with the control issue. But as far as implementing this plan as we move forward to the year 2050, as Ed mentioned, we are moving forward with voluntary programs and voluntary suggestions. It will take buy-in from communities, from the general public, from the agricultural community, from small businesses. Everybody needs to get on board with this, that this is an issue that we need to get involved with and need to develop and, again, work forward to the year 2050 with the management plan. It is, again, voluntary. It is critical that all interest groups – there were 12 interest groups represented on this committee. It is critical that all interest groups, past the 12 that we had or otherwise, get involved, learn about the plan – buy into that we must move forward with the management plan because, again, it's voluntary. There is no – we have no authority as given to us through the executive order to mandate that anybody take these and use it as a law. We were charged with working with existing within existing laws and regulations. And so, again, I can't stress enough, it is voluntary. It's critical that individuals like this caller and others participate in learning more about the aquifer.
So the point of this whole business was to try to bring together as many interested parties as possible and say, look, this is a common resource. We all depend on it. We have to get together and decide how we're going to be able to manage this in a sustainable way so that in the future we can all continue to use it.
That's correct. And it's sort of, many people recall the Three Stooges when they bang their heads together. Yeah. That's sort of where we're at. We're banging our heads together here of, listen, it's time that we get together on this and work together towards managing this resource that we have.
I want to get on somebody else, but I don't know if Professor Smith, you wanted to weigh in on it?
Well, I do have a concern that the water in large volumes would leave this area. But currently the regulations allow that to happen. I believe the 1980 Water Act indicated that you can do that.
Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to go out and start my own bottled water company, I could go out and set up a plant and drill a well and
Absolutely.
Start bottling Dave's water, and I could start selling it, and there would be nothing to prevent me from doing that?
Absolutely
not. And there would be no limit on how much water I could pump out of the aquifer?
No, at this point in time. There's no control. Ed might be able to address this. It says something about useful sustainability of taking water out, but
there's something in riparian law known as reasonable water use. I mean, you can't necessarily go out and waste it. But to get back to the example of a water bottling company, there was a company in Paxton that started in about 1998. They've since closed their doors, but they sold water and they had contracts with, I believe, Walmart to ship water throughout the U.S. Now, they've since gone through a consolidation process, and they decided that the Paxton plant didn't fit their needs. But we had water that was bottled from the Mahomet Aquifer and shipped throughout the U.S.
And I guess that, as I understand, and I want to keep with callers, but this business of reasonable use, if you want to make an issue of that, you've got to go to court.
That's right.
You could do that if you had some party, if it was your neighbor, you thought that person was using an unreasonable amount, you could make a case out of it and go and ask some judge to make the decision. But then somebody else, that judge, I suppose, would have to make the ruling about whether that was reasonable use or not.
That's right.
And this has gone through the courts to define what reasonable use is. There's still a little cloudy of what reasonable use is, but it has gone that far, I believe as far up as the Illinois Supreme Court has taken up this issue. So this issue this caller brings up and we're talking about is a legitimate issue and something that has gone through the courts.
All right, let's talk with somebody else here, and that would be line number two, and that would be someone I believe in Champagne. Line two. Hello.
Yes, I am in Champagne.
Yes.
And I am just delighted that the committee exists and the report exists, and I have a couple of questions. One is, where can I get a copy of the report?
Do you have internet access? You can.
I beg your pardon?
Do you have internet? Because you can see it online.
Any way to get a paper copy?
Yes.
They can contact me at my office at 352-5235, and I can get the information that I need from them and mail it to them.
And who is talking, please?
That's Brad.
Brad Eucken from the Champaign County Farm Bureau.
Brad Eucken. Okay, Brad. Thank you. My second question, actually it's a comment, is I totally agree with the previous caller. And it does appear as if Walmart, bless their big hearts, has been taking our water and selling it around the country. So it can't have been such a terrible economic problem, because evidently they have been doing it. And I think that as convenient as it is for Walmart, it must be very inconvenient for us. And so, what exactly is coming to the Illinois Supreme Court? That's my first question. And my second question is, where are these public meetings held and how can one find out about them? And my third question is, I'm not sure that reasonable use covers Walmart bottling our water and selling it across the country.
I don't know how we might have to get a natural resources lawyer in here to give us a real solid answer to the question. These questions about the law. I don't know. Is that something you feel you can talk about?
I'm not going to dive into that. I'm not an attorney from that standpoint. But these have gone to the Supreme Court. These are not necessarily going there currently. There's no cases per se pending. Through history, there is case law already on this issue. So these have gone to the Supreme Court. What year? I can't tell you in what the specific circumstances were in each of the case, but I know these have gone to the Supreme Court of Illinois and they have ruled on these.
You mean particular cases have ended up being appealed from one court to another court to another court, and eventually it came to the Supreme Court.
That's correct.
To be the ones to make the decision on what was fair use and or what was appropriate use and what was not.
That is correct. Okay. And again, trying to define what reasonable use is.
What's reasonable use? Okay.
Yes.
Well,
maybe
what they consider reasonable is to allow Walmart to take our aquifer water and sell it around the country. And evidently, if there are no cases pending on this, reasonable must have already covered Walmart, which strikes me as very unreasonable. And I just wonder how much control do the local towns and counties have, and what kind of influence can they exert on what this definition of reasonable is?
Well,
can they pass laws, or does everybody in the aquifer in the 13 counties have to get together and request legal action?
Can you, Professor?
Well, I would say that collectively, counties have to come together. I mean, the 15 county boards have a stake in this, and they can each, and it would have to be done on an individual basis, and it could be exactly the same rules and regulations about managing the water within those areas. But I think it's going to be rather difficult to stop any company or corporation from getting water from this aquifer or even from surface water. There was a question related to the meetings. The meetings are held throughout the 15-county region. The next one happens to be tomorrow evening in Gilman, Illinois, and all meetings are from 7 to 9 o'clock in the evening. And the next one will be Thursday in Decatur. I know that one will be at the Farm Bureau, and maybe Brad and Ed knows where the meeting will be in Gilman. And then on the 10th of August, Monticello from 7 to 9 at the Farm Bureau in Monticello. Those are the next three meetings that are coming up. There will be one large meeting that's currently being planned for three large communities, Bloomington, Normal, Springfield, and Champaign and Urbana. That date has not been established yet, but it'll be a large forum, very similar to the one that was initiated over at the Beckman Institute about 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
On Tuesday night, we're going to be at the library in Gilman, the Danforth Library in Gilman, and we invite people from that area to come out and ask us their questions. And we'll have a short PowerPoint presentation to describe the report and the work of the committee to date.
Right. I want to thank the last caller. I hope you'll forgive me. We only have about 5 minutes left, and I have a number of other callers, and I'd like to try to get some other folks in here to the conversation. In doing that, we'll go next to someone in Urbana, and that's line 3. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I think there seem to be two intrinsic problems here. One, unlike other minerals and, say, oil and gas, which is owned by people who own the land, of course, the right to those minerals is separable from the surface rights. But unlike that, water rights are not given to landowners. So there is a void here. We don't seem to recognize water as a valuable resource. And following that is the situation that the value of water as a resource, the intrinsic value itself, is not recognized in the price. So nobody pays a royalty for pumping out water to anybody. And as a result, this mineral, if we can call it that, which is so important for life itself, is not valued at all compared to other minerals, which we can arguably do without in the dire emergencies. So these are the problems that society has to tackle. Lawmakers have to get together. And on top of that, each state seems to have different rules for these minerals. So we did find that water pricing is a major issue, not just in Illinois, but all over the world. And that's my comment. I'm a former colleague of Ed Maynard, and he would probably recognize that voice also. I'll just hang up and listen.
All right. I appreciate the comment. You want to...
I recognize the voice. I wrote that down as the caller. That sounds like somebody I know. You know, he was making the point that water has no value because it has no mineral rights assigned to it, and that's a logical extension. But the opposite is what I believe, is that water is so valuable, it's held as a public good. It's not something that anybody can own. It's something that everybody owns, and therefore is treated a little bit differently than some of the other minerals that we have, whether it's coal or sand and gravel. So I guess we have a philosophical disagreement on that one.
But again, I suppose that though, then what I come back to is then the need to have all of the people who have an interest, and that's everybody, to all to come together to say, look, we have to have some, we have to develop a plan so that we can, in a sustainable way, satisfy all of the demands that are placed on the resource so that we don't end up exhausting the resource, because it's not, it might seem like it's bottomless, but it's not.
You're correct.
Yeah. Let me see if I can get one more caller here. Let's go to Spring Bay, line 4. Hello.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, I kind of agree with a former caller about expressing concerns about the water, but do you think it's good public policy for our water to be owned, or the water rights, or the pumping rights, I guess, the Illinois American, which is a German company. It's neither Illinois nor American. What do you think are the public policy implications of that? I've heard recently that in the Sand Hill Country in Nebraska, which sits on top of the Ogallala, that people are coming in and buying up that land out there simply so they can have access to that water. So a couple of different things, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks. Good program.
Thank you. Well,
I might say that the Ogallala Aquifer is going dry. It's being used up, and this notion that people are currently buying it, they may be buying it for other purposes, but it's not for water right purposes. And as I mentioned about the Great Basin in northern Nevada, they're moving water 200 miles at a very expensive cost to keep up the glitz, if you will, in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing changes. Now, it's an issue. It's one of our scenarios dealt with perhaps climate change. And there are people in this community and throughout the state and perhaps even throughout the world that don't believe that we have any sense of global warming. There is climate change, and it may be localized, and all we have to do is look what has happened with with drought in certain areas and also with floods in other areas, floods that haven't been around. Iowa is a good example. Iowa City last year had tremendous floods. So something is happening on this planet. We may not notice it necessarily in this area, but things are happening, and it does affect water usage throughout the world. We know there's a billion people on average daily that do not have adequate water supply, a billion people. And so we're very lucky to live where we are today in central Illinois. Price is a determining factor, is one of the issues we looked at. As price goes up, water consumption goes down. But since we've had cheap water over a long period of time, we've just taken it for granted. And I know that Illinois American is seeking another 39% increase in water rates, but we still are paying less than one penny a gallon for water. We'll go out and buy a soda at a local gas station for $1.50 and don't think anything about it, or we'll buy a bottle of water for $2 and don't think anything about it. We could do like Chicago has done. They have a 5 cent, the first eco tax on bottled water. So every bottle you buy in Chicago, you pay 5 cents tax on now, additional.
You do have on your committee, there is somebody that represents the water company.
Yes.
Do you guys have any concern about the fact that the water company is owned is a foreign-owned company?
You know, that never was part of the discussion really at all, and that individual represents water utilities. There's you have to remember there's more than just Illinois American Water as a water utility. There's Aqua out of Danville, and there's others that service the 15-county area. So I think we need to keep in mind that it's more than just Illinois American Water, and I think all of these callers drive home the point that we brought up earlier. This is why we need collaborative effort and bring everybody to the table. So that if somebody's trying to bottle it, if we've got a water utility, a water company, we need to have those people at the table so that they can be part of planning for the future. And I think that's critical.
We're going to have to stop because we're just at the end of the time with the promise that we'll try to stay on top of this issue and have some more conversation. If people want to read this report we mentioned, the plan to improve planning and management of water supplies in East Central Illinois, and you have web access, what you want to go is go to www.rwspc.org, and that stands for Regional Water Supply Planning Committee. So you can read it that way. Or one of our guests here, Brad Eukins, I don't know if you're going to get besieged now with requests, but he said if you call him at the Champaign County Farm Bureau, if you don't have internet and you can't get it that way, you could get a copy of the report from him. I imagine you could get one from the water survey, I would think.
Yeah, if you contact me via email or phone, my number is 217-244-2765. I'll see that you get a copy of the report. You can tell me if you want a CD or you want it on paper. We can get it to you. And also on our website, we have our schedule for our outreach meetings. And we have, I think, 9 more scheduled and a number of those to be added to the schedule. So check our website for that also.
Okay. Ed Maynard's from the Illinois State Geological Survey. William Smith, he's a trustee for the Village of Savoy. And Brad Eukins is manager of the Champaign County Farm Bureau. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.